Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, please. Brother Keith, do you know the folks in the row with you?
I do, yes.
Would you introduce them to us, please?
Sure, Jeff, this is Peggy, Peggy, Jack.
Good. Peggy and Jack, nice to meet you.
Now, this is Jeff and Peggy Spear. Jeff and Peggy are in the missionary building ministry.
Praise the Lord. Great. Good to have you folks with us today. And I don't think we introduced you last Sunday. Would you introduce yourself and your family to us this morning?
Sure. Praise the Lord. My name is Ricky, and I have my wife, Divya, and I have two children. One is Samuel, Joshua Moses, and MC Mark. And we just moved from Connecticut to New York a month ago, actually. So we have been praying, and we have been asking God to die for the church, and the Lord has blessed us.
So, good to have you and your family with us. It's good to have all of you with us too. And John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 23. And there we read, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Verse 26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." How many of you have heard of the missionaries back in, I believe it was 1955, who were martyred in South America, and one of them was called Nate Saint? How many of you... Can anyone recall the famous saying? I think it's been attributed to, I think it was Nate Saint who said it, something about a fool and so forth. Can anybody give me that saying? Go ahead, Tom.
He is no fool.
Let's help him. He is no fool to give that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. All right. What does he mean by that? Well, very similar truth was given here, right? In this passage, we saw that he that loveth his life shall lose it, verse 25, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it. So he is no fool to give that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You know? And certainly, it's important to give our lives in serving God today. Isn't it wonderful to be involved in God's work today?
Amen.
It is just wonderful to be doing for God. Now remember, though, we have been studying for the last several weeks here now that, but we learned last week that what? We learned that we have to be careful about just doing and not building the relationship. Because what did the Lord say to Mary and Martha on one occasion, especially to Martha? Said she was cumbered about with much serving, and yet Mary had chosen the what? Better part. And what had Mary chosen? To spend time at the feet of Jesus. So let's never substitute our doing for spending time with Christ. Let's never be so busy that we neglect our relationship with Christ. It is so important that we spend time with Him. You know, the choruses that we sang this morning, I just love those choruses that lift our Savior up on high. I have a little bit, it's just a personal thing with me, but the words of that one song, Majesty, Worship His Majesty. You know, I know that we're to worship God, but I don't want to worship just any particular attribute. I want to worship Him in His totality, you know. I want to worship Him. Yes, God is who He is because of all of His attributes combined, but worship God today. Worship Christ today and serve Him. And this passage tells us about that service. And certainly Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And so certainly Jesus Christ is that great example of one who came as a servant and served and ministered. And as a servant, He accomplished God's redemptive plan for humanity. And it's so wonderful, as we gather around the Lord's table in just a few moments, we are going to be reminded of how Jesus Christ humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And He didn't just die, He shed His blood, a ransom for many. And so we are going to be remembering and recalling our Savior today. Aren't you glad that then, as such, our Savior and our servant, Jesus Christ, He has called us to be servants? And Philippians 2, I quoted just a portion of that a moment ago, but we are encouraged in Philippians 2, starting verse 5, to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what mind was in Christ Jesus? A mind of humility, a mind of service, a mind of servanthood. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so this same servant's attitude is the attitude that we ought to have. If we are going to experience God, and not just know about Him, but really know Him, then we're going to have that servant's attitude, that servant's mind, that servant's humility, that servant's obedience. And in Matthew 20, Jesus was again instructing His disciples, and He said, if you want to be first, what do you have to be? Last. And if you want to be the one who is going to be served, you must first be willing to serve. And so this attitude is one that we have to cultivate. We have this special relationship with Christ through faith, whereby His finished work has cleansed us from our sin and renewed us, given us new life. And now we are in a new relationship with Him. And as such, we share in His mission. He said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And so there is much for us to do when we have responded to God's call of salvation. Now we need to respond to God's call of service. And this new relationship brings us into a new role with our God and with our Savior. Now, someone has defined a servant as someone like this. A servant is one who finds out what his master wants him to do and then does it. That's a pretty simple definition. And so if that's true from the human concept, the servant would just say, Master, what do you want me to do? Now, I don't really believe that I had a servant relationship with my father, but my father definitely was in charge. And I remember as a child getting up every morning in the summertime, especially when school was out. And my dad usually left for work because he worked about an hour away from where we lived for Buick Fisher Body Assembly there in Flint, Michigan. And he used to leave very early in the morning. So he would leave written instructions for us so that when we got up, we knew what to do. And oft times it would say things like this: today you're going to plow on Grandpa's farm. So I'd get up, eat breakfast, get ready, go out, grab the tractor, and go plow on Grandpa's farm. And I'd stop and see Grandpa to find out exactly where he wanted me to plow. Or it might say, today you're going to go bale hay for Uncle Wilbur. So I would get up and get ready and go bale hay with Uncle Wilbur. Or it might say, today you're going to go hoe the potatoes in the field. And we used to grow 5 acres of potatoes. And I always liked working in the potatoes as long as you could do it from a tractor seat. But once you couldn't do it from a tractor seat and you had to go in because you didn't want to disturb the potatoes, you had to do it by hand. And my dad hated weeds with a passion. And so we had to make sure there were no weeds in the potato field. And I've told you this before, but my brother, who was 3 years older than me, he always could pick the rows that had less weeds than I could. You know, just always. He had a way of doing that. But you know, the biblical concept of a servant of God is a little bit different. It's a little bit different than the human concept of a servant. The human concept is, Master, what do you want me to do? I'll go do it. Is that exactly how it is with our relationship with God as far as servant? No, because that attitude is, here's what I want you to do, and I'm going to help you do it. Because the Master empowers us to do what he wants us to do. It's not just go do it. Work with me and I'll help you do it as a servant. And certainly our concept is more like the potter and the clay. We are his workmanship, we learned in Sunday school this morning, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so it is Christ molding us and forming us and making us so that we can accomplish what he wants us to do. And so we need to be moldable, and we need to be willing to be molded into his image and molded into what he wants us to do. Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's all turn there for just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 18. And starting in verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And certainly we're like that as well. We are those whom God is molding for his purposes. And so to be useful, we have to be moldable. And to be useful, we have to allow ourselves to be submissive to the potter's hand, and he can make us any vessel that he chooses. And here's a question: in what ways is God working in molding your life today? Because it's not just that he molds for a while and then he stops molding. He continually is molding us to be more conformed to the image of his dear son, and he continually molds us for his service. I pray that I'm even a better molded vessel for his use today than I was last week, because I'm more submitted and more yielded to him. And we have then that attitude of him being our divine master and we being his human servant. And so we need to be moldable, and we need to be available. John 5:19, Jesus said, speaking of himself, said, "The Son of Man can do nothing of himself." He was always ready to do the Father's will. And he also said, "Without me, ye can do nothing," in John 15:5. And certainly, as God works in ourselves, as he works in his servants, as he works molding us, we need to make sure that we are available, yielded, willing, obedient, and to work as he has asked us. You know, it seems like just yesterday, but it was several years ago. In the year 2000, Nathan and my other son Jason and I went on a special ministry trip to Australia. And we gathered with 67 other believers from the United States. There were 67 on our team that came from all over the United States. And there were 200 Australian believers that joined. And so there was a group of 267 approximately of us that ministered there at the Olympics. A man from the United States side that handled this was a man by the name of Dr. David Crandall. And so we went with David Crandall, and we went on a 17-day trip to Australia, and our purpose was to minister during the Olympics to all of these thousands and thousands of people who came from all over the world to gather in this country. We had gospel literature in 15 major languages of the world. And each day we would get a bundle of all of these tracts, and then we would each be assigned to a certain area of the city of Sydney, or sometimes we'd get on a train and just, or go to a park, or go to they had a zoo, so we'd go to the zoo, and you'd go to a different area each day. And the primary purpose was to witness and to pass out literature and to win people to Christ. And it was wonderful to see how God brought all of that together, and wonderful to see how he used. During those days, there were approximately 80 people that we know trusted Christ as their Savior. But we passed out over 500,000 gospel tracts that gave the clear gospel. And so only eternity at this point will let us know exactly how many people got saved during that time. We know that there were at least 80 that professed Christ from all over the world. And I thank the Lord for some very unusual experiences that he gave us in witnessing during that time. And it was wonderful to see how together this group could all come together serving God, complete strangers for the most part, with one goal in mind, to serve God and serve Christ and to see his blessing upon that. And you know, all of us, each day we'd go out and we would pray and we would depend upon God. And certainly our relationship was, we're there as servants, but we're dependent upon our master. And that's the relationship we must have day by day, yielding ourselves as servants, but always dependent upon the master. Let's turn to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, and there you have a familiar story, one that is familiar to all of us, and we have introduced to us in verse 1 a man by the name of Elijah. It says, and Elijah, 1 Kings 17:1, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And so we have this wonderful ministry of Elijah, and we could study the various aspects of his life. But we are introduced in that verse also to a king named Ahab. Ahab was a terribly wicked king. And Ahab was leading God's people away from God, worshiping the pagan gods. And so we see this contest that's taking place here. And then go over to chapter 18. And let's look at verse 21 and following. It says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet unto the Lord. And but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Then let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered, said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, must be awaked. And they cried again, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out of them. Came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time, and he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God Abraham, of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known that this day that thou art the God of Israel, and that I am what? Thy servant. And that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. What did Elijah say? That it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. Elijah accomplished God's purposes only as he was moldable, available, and humbled in serving. Did he do it for Elijah's sake? No. God sent fire for his own sake, for his glory. But you know, what kind of service does God use? Well, the truth is, God uses ordinary people. Just before we go to the Lord's table, let's go over to James chapter 5. God uses just ordinary people. James chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, that's Elijah, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What kind of man was Elias? A man subject to like passions as we are. Just an ordinary man. But a man who was yielded as a servant to his God. D.L. Moody once heard Henry Varley say, "The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him." Moody was deeply moved by those words and yielded himself to God and asked that he could be that man. Are we those who are fully and wholly consecrated to God? May God cause us to be those kind of servants today. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a society that isn't about serving, it's about being served. We live in a generation of those who resist humbling themselves and resist yielding. And Father, I pray today that you'll find within all of our hearts a willingness, an availability, a yieldedness to your molding and your filling and your using. And so help us to be fully surrendered to you today. Lord, I pray that we might be those who rely upon you for strength and power to accomplish that which you call us to do. While our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder, I haven't really preached the message on salvation this morning, but I hope you're saved. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope today that if you were to go into the presence of God and he were to ask you, why should he let you into his heaven? I pray you have the right answer, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, because you're under the blood of Christ. If that's not been your experience, I encourage you to come by faith and receive Christ today. But those of us who know Christ, how is our servant attitude today? There's a little song that says, "Make me a servant." Is that what you're asking God to do for you today? Make you a servant? Are you surrendered? Are you moldable? Are you willing? Are you dependent on him? Just before we close in prayer, are there any who'd say, "Pastor, today, anew and afresh, I'm yielding myself to God and his purposes, his desires in my life"? And perhaps you've done that previously, but today you're renewing that commitment. to be the servant God wants you to be. Just as we pray, is anyone lifting your hand and saying, I'm yielding to him today again? Here's my hand. Thank you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Lord, may that be something that we do on a daily basis as we yield ourselves anew and afresh to you. But I pray especially for those that raise their hand now that you will especially do your work in their lives. Continue to mold and make them according to your purposes. Prepare our hearts now for the Lord's table, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.